Good everybody. I'm Cam Stewart with your fantasy sports news update. Tyreek Hill's lawyer has issued a four-page letter to the NFL denying the child abuse allegations against the Kansas City Chiefs receiver. Hill's been told not to participate in teen activities after reviewing a troubling audio tape involving Hill and his fiancée, Crystal Espinal. Audio on the tape has Hill's fiancée asking him why the three-year-old son said daddy did it after suffering a serious arm injury last week. Hill's also heard yelling at her on the tape. The pair were investigated for child abuse, but the case was closed due to the lack of evidence over who committed the crime. In today's letter, Hill's attorney Trey Patton writes that his client will cooperate with the NFL's investigation, and recordings have been made available to the league via the NFLPA. He's currently undergoing individual and family counseling. Hill, one of the most electrifying players in the league, ranking fourth in receiving yards last year with 1,479, 12 touchdowns, and earning a third consecutive Pro Bowl berth too. The Buffalo Bills want Bills Mafia to chill out. The Bills now introducing Tailgate Village for the 2019 season in an effort to improve fan safety and the game day experience, they say. The Bills pregame party's legendary with fire, smash tables, all out debauchery. It's wild. The new Tailgate Village will cost about $15 per person, and the area will have tents, tables, and a house DJ trying to calm it down there in Buffalo. Afternoon baseball, lots of live action on the bowl. Go, let's hit the scoreboard. San Diego hammering Atlanta, 11-2 the final. Strom the win. Fulton Evans picks up the loss. Mets beat Cincinnati 1-0. What a day for Noah Syndergaard. He completes a complete game four hitter, 10 Ks, and the only run in the game, a home run, which he hit. Super, super day for Thor. Mets 1, Cincy nothing. Minnesota up on Houston 8-2. Berrios the win. He moves to 5-1. Peacock takes the loss for the Stros. Twins take 3 of 4 from the Astros. Current action right now. Colorado, they're up on Milwaukee 10-5 in the top of the eighth inning. Tampa Bay and Kansas City tied up at 1 in the top of 7. Later today, 4:05, St. Louis at Washington. Nats minus 165, over under 8.5. Hudson versus Strasburg. Later on tonight, Boston at 8:10 p.m. Boston laying 170 against Chicago White Sox. Over under 8.5. Price versus Giolito. Late game on the board. Most of this game, most of the game's afternoon action tonight. Toronto and the Angels, the final game on the board. Angels minus 135. Total 8.5. Sanchez versus Skaggs. The Cubs have reinstated shortstop Addison Russell following a 40-game suspension for violating the MLB's domestic violence policy. The 25-year-old has immediately been optioned to AAA Iowa. One more game in the NBA playoffs tonight. The Toronto Raptors are in Philadelphia to take on the Sixers. 8 o'clock tip. Raptors laying 1.5 points here. Over under 217. This best-of-7 series tied at 1. Boston Celtics president of basketball operations Danny Ainge suffering a mild heart attack this week, but he is on the mend. The 60-year-old who suffered a mild heart attack back in 2009 received immediate medical attention and is expected to make a full recovery. Great news there. Ainge is going to be able to return to Boston tonight. A pair of games in the NHL playoffs. First of the double bill goes at 7:30. Columbus hosting Boston. Jackets minus 130. Total 5.5. They lead the best-of-7 series 2-1. In game 2 at 10 o'clock, Colorado plays S.J. Sharkey. Avalanche minus 125. Total set at 6. San Jose leads the best-of-7 there 2-1. And the Sharks are now the betting favorite with most books, too, sitting at plus 325 to win the Stanley Cup. Let's hit the golf links for round one of the PGA's Wells Fargo Championship from difficult Quail Hollow. Four-way tie for the lead right now at 4 under par. Patrick Reed is one of those players. Taylor, Laird, and Schenck all minus 4 right now and still on the course. Kelly McCrimmon has been promoted to general manager of the Las Vegas Golden Knights, so Edmonton, their GM search is still going to keep on going on. Red Wings and Maple Leaf hockey legend and Hall of Famer Red Kelly passing away today at the age of 91. Kelly's 8 Stanley Cups are more than any player in the National Hockey League history not to play for the Montreal Canadiens. He's been voted as one of the 100 best players of all time, and his number 4 has been retired from Detroit and Toronto. Omaha Beach scratched from the Kentucky Derby, the new favorite now. We have Roadster is 9-2 in this race there. He's 9-2 and probable 5-1. Maximum Security 6-1. Tacitus 8-1. I'm Cam Stewart. Stick around. Red Heat Rage Radio with me and Gabe Renzi host coming up next.
Join the experts live on the air every day by calling in at 844-843-6879 to join the Fantasy Sports Network.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions. All right, let's roll. Game time decision. Red Heat Rager Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network, iHeart Radio. I am Gabriel Morenci, throwing it down with a raging redhead, Cam Stewart, on this Thursday afternoon. We've got a couple of NHL playoff games on tap this evening. Just the one NBA playoff game, as unfortunately, as the weather starts to get mercifully a little bit better, it means there's less games on, Cam. We're already at that time of the year now where it's like,
depressing.
It's only
depressing.
One game here, two games there.
Don't like it, Gabe. Don't like it. I don't like to look at the board and see one and two. I like the full slate. I want the full
like
meal
being,
deal.
When you only got one game on the board and two games on the board, it's like being walking a tightrope. It's like being an acrobat. There's no net underneath. There's no other game unless you want to try to get your money back and put $300 on a Seattle Mariners or something like that.
Yeah, what do I do? Challenge my neighbor to a 40-yard dash in the garage? Yeah, you're right. There's nothing going on here. We can grab a couple rats and race them in the domicile.
I think you'll beat
them. I don't know what to do.
You can run
I would
for a
too.
Big guy. I've seen you.
The Filipino guys have no idea what I can do. They kind of think I'm like this big lumbering bear, but they don't realize that I'll maul them. I see these guys, and they hack darts, too. You think I have an unhealthy lifestyle? Those guys smoke three packs a day. They might not even make it to the 40-yard line.
Your neighbors can't run 40 yards. The guys are drinking beer and smoking. They're smoking all day. They're playing cards all day.
Gabe, they don't work. I don't know what
their
they
wives.
Do.
Yeah, their wives are in better shape than they are.
Oh,
by far.
Their wives are the best. I see the guy the other
their
day.
Their wife would He's beat had... you. My buddy's on the wife.
Oh, yeah, the money's on the wife. Oh, God, yeah. The money's on the wife. The guy's sitting in a lawn chair having a dart, and I watch the guy's wife. She's got eight bags of groceries. Hey, aren't you going to help her? Guy's like, hey, babe.
She just finished 18-hour shift at the hospital nurse.
Yeah, that's great. 18-hour shift. She brings home the groceries, probably coming home to cook, and he's sitting there hacking a dart in a lawn chair. What a life.
It sounds good.
God. Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. Needed Dallas last night, buddy. That saved my night. After the Islanders lost, I was like, I really need this one. That was huge. But what can you say, buddy? That series is getting a little rough. A lot of cheap shots, hitting the goalie from behind, stuff like that. I'd like to see an old-school brawl pretty soon. Goaltenders hacking each other, that's more like it.
Yeah, the Islanders are all but done right now.
No. Honestly, they didn't even play that bad. Like, it's just, they're just, you said it, they got all the breaks versus Pitt. Now, nothing's going their way. Like, it's just they can't score. It's just they're really having problems. Also, I don't
sort
like their
like,
style. They should throw it from anywhere. When you have a hot goaltender, you got to score cheesy goals. It's the oldest trick in the book. Don't make it perfect.
Yeah, but they're overthinking things now, though.
Exactly.
That's what happens. They're
exactly
starting to overthink.
It.
They're not like they're gripping us. Nothing's going their way.
Yeah,
it's almost like
their own
life.
Heads.
Yeah, it's like they're, you know, you missed the subway by like 10 seconds. That's what's going on there. It's like, Cam, basically the Islanders are a guy who comes down the steps, just misses the subway, and the guy in front of them just gets in the door. The door closes, and he looks down, and he finds $100. He picks it up. Hey, look at this. Found $100. You're like, damn. I was just like 2 seconds away from that, but somehow, like, I ended up behind this guy. That's the Islanders. Like, they're always, like, they're about to score, they're about to score, they're about to score, and then boom, Carolina scores. You know what I mean?
Like that commercial, Gabe. The other guy walks in, he gets the subway, but his friend's got a box of KFC. He's the real winner.
Yeah. We're off to the retro power hour starting here.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Surprised we didn't come back with like Jethro Tull or something.
Flutes.
And Rage Radio, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Why are people tweeting me about Kentucky Fried Chicken right now, Cam?
It's funny. I just mentioned Kentucky Fried Chicken, and Bruce Shad says, I am at Kentucky Fried Chicken. And he just put the receipt in, and I retweeted him and said, I am craving Kentucky Fried Chicken. I'm going to hit the $14.99 8-piece and fries after the show. So Kentucky Fried Chicken, hot topic.
$14.99, eight piece bucket and fried. Oh, that's what you're going for.
On my radar, exclamation point.
Trending.
That's a great deal.
Trending.
That's trend. Yep, trending. Hey, KFC.
Bruce Chad eats like more unhealthy than you do, actually, somehow. But he's like skinny. He's like me. He can eat anything. I don't think he can. I don't know, though. We've never seen him. So
is he skinny?
He doesn't seem to be a bit. Yeah, I think he is.
Well, look at his menu, too. He got a Pepsi there. He's got a missile of Pepsi. He upgraded.
I'll tell you what he got here. So he's got the Trilogy. It's called the Trilogy Box Meal.
Yeah.
Spicy Big Crunch.
Mm.
He upgraded to the Mega from the individual size fries.
I like it.
Macaroni Salad. Good call. Bottle of Pepsi.
Sure.
And then he got a little mini gold bucket.
Tenders.
Original recipe tenders. Two-piece, $3.49. Food and beverage subtotal, $15.83.
See, I'm going to tell you why I'm an expert.
I'm surprised, though, Bruce has sent
that's
this.
That's a
lot. He doesn't leave the house often. Like, I'm surprised you didn't just, like, you know, KFC deliver, Bruce.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to pay the $5.99 delivery fee.
They had a lot of money.
Yeah, no, that's the thing. I don't like. I'm done with delivery fees, man. That's where they gouge you. And think about this, Gabe. Bruce's his meal's nice, but for $14.99, I get eight pieces in a bucket. That's a lot of chicken. That's the deal.
Yeah, I don't really see what he got here for $15. He got
that's
a spicy Big Crunch sandwich, fries that are out there. Even their big fries are small. Little macaroni salad, small. Bottle of Pepsi. And two tenders. Like, yeah, I don't see the $15. Yeah. I don't understand this, Bruce. Like, you can get, like, the four-piece meal for, like, $8.99 or something like that. You get that nice piece of bread or biscuit with it.
That's
in
right.
Canada, they do the bread. In Canada, they give you a piece of bread. They put butter on
buttered
it.
Bread. Buttered
yeah,
soft
yeah, it's
bread.
Pretty good.
Just what I need. More bread after the bread.
And butter.
And butter, exactly. And it's soft bread,
to go with the grease of the Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Gabe, that bread is so soft, you can, like, roll it up into a snowball. Like, it's softer than Wonder Bread. I don't know how they make it, but it's light. Yeah, but lots of butter. Correct.
Probably
yeah,
not
you spent a lot
bread.
Of money. $15.83? Meh.
You're getting ripped off, better. Bruce.
Yeah. I like what you did with the sides, Bruce, but I think we could do better.
You basically paid $15 for a spicy Big Crunch and two tenders.
Yeah, and a small macaroni salad.
And what are you talking about? You're getting eight-piece bucket. And fries for $14.99.
Family fries, too. The big one.
Yeah.
So then I can splurge for the gravy. Dinner's on. Dinner's ready, Gabe.
Yeah. And then a bottle of Pepsi.
Yep.
And a bottle of Pepsi with it.
Buddy, I told you, when you come back home, we'll do that. If you drop by, we'll have some KFC like old times. I'm really got a hankering for it now. After I saw Bruce's receipt, it's all I can think of right now.
I could get KFC if I use Uber Eats.
Oh yeah. Are you? How do you like that Uber Eats thing? I don't like delivery charges again. I've used it once, and it's just one of those things. I would rather, even when I order a pizza, I have a beat down car. The delivery game, it takes out all the money you save from coupons and beautiful things. It's just.
So what's the deal with an Uber Eats? So it's like they add like $5 delivery, yeah. And then you got to tip the guy on top of it, so you're paying like an extra $10 for McDonald's or something.
Ding, 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 ding. You got it, buddy. You got to tip the guy, too. It's his job. You're not going to, like, leave him with nothing, and you got to make it respectable. So I'm just really not down with that program. I'll do it myself. It's funny. I open up the mailbox, and I got a whole new fresh batch of KFC coupons, too. I've already cut them out, ready to go. I have them all categorized and ready to go. Big Crunch here, bucket here, ready to go.
Fortunately, I just ate a sandwich before the show started. Otherwise, I'd be like, damn, I'm hungry right now. But
I am.
Normally, we don't start panicking about what we're going to eat until like 6:30.
DFS hours.
You're already in a panic.
I know. I mistimed my day today, Gabe.
I guess so.
I had to get back from the city, so I kind of rushed. So, yeah, I'm really hungry.
Even Cardano asked me, he's like, what's the deal with Cam and being in a kitchen? Where the hell is this guy? I said, he'll be back in a bunker today.
Oh, yeah, he didn't like my girlfriend's place, so I got to put the system somewhere. There's nowhere else to put it. Like, you tell me, like, you need a computer and a table and whatever. Yeah, it was the kitchen.
Just set up a studio in her living room. She won't mind. Set up, like,
Yeah. Fantasy sports. Yeah, just put all posters and stuff there. Get a big Michael Jordan poster.
Just tell her, listen, it's one way or the other, honey. If you say we don't hang out enough, this is what's got to happen. Be great. It'd be great. Just put a big picture up. Put a big bit like Fantasy Sports Network banner and put a big poster of you and me up.
That's what I was thinking about doing. Yeah, it'd be awesome. She could see it every single day.
Yeah. Trust me.
You're right, though, Gabe. I really enjoyed going out of town because now that I'm a hermit and just like all my laughter's from guys in my
you're screwed now.
Like acting arts. Yeah, like I feel now I'm back.
Portuguese show's not even there.
No.
All you've got, you can go trade some furniture and drink some beer with the Filipino guys at least, and smoke some darts.
You mentioned that.
Play some cards.
Saw me today. I go, where's my?
Do they watch the Raptor games? They probably like the Raptors in the garage.
They love sports. They always they're all about the best thing about them is it's just the hometown team though, not like me and you. Like they don't play the board. It's all Raptors, Jays, Leafs. Like they're very very localized with their sports love and boxing fights. When Manny Pacquiao's fighting, oh man, it's a party. They bring over everybody. That like I'll tell you on any type of boxing
what would happen,
night, those guys rock the garage hard. Like that's what
happened if I went over there. I'm over there with them after a couple of beers and I just say, Manny Pacquiao sucks.
You wouldn't be welcome back to the complex. I have a feeling you'd get a ban. I think they would. Even if I was like, you're my friend, I'd say your tall, bald buddy there, he just insulted the Philippines. He's got to go. Kurtz's wife's a Filipino, too. He's always telling me, like, she cooks all these dinners and whatever. And he doesn't like to try exotic food. He's a real meat and potatoes guy, he tells me. I'm like, wow. I go, you should eat your wife's food if she cooks it.
What a shock, Kurtz doesn't try exotic food.
Yeah, Kurtz is like,
the guy doesn't leave his house.
No, he doesn't. See, that's the problem. That's why I went to the city. That's why Cardano says, what's up with the cupboards, Gabe? I had to get out of here. I told you I was going nuts. See, it was like Groundhog Day. Every day. I saw the same people. It was like you when you lived at Morenci Studios there, man.
Oh, I know.
It's a feeling where you start to feel like you're not living. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. Every day, it's Gabe. It becomes one. It wraps into, like, you get paler and paler and stuff. And I'm telling
like
you, at first, you're like, oh, this is great. I told you this, too. You're like, all right, great, no more GO train. I'm like, yeah, you'll see. It's a different type of life. Next thing you know, you're sitting in the dark 18 hours a day. Your life is just connecting things. Oh, I gotta. It's like it just comes into one. I remember when I was in Toronto, I did the shows, a lot of different formats, Cam, and same thing, man. I realized that. I was like, this blows. And I set it up. I wanted to do it where I was going to do the show every day from 4 o'clock, basically from Wild Wings.
Yeah,
because it was more exciting to get out, have a couple of beers, talk to the waitresses, people in the bar, you know what I mean? And do the show there to add to it a little bit. But this summer we'll be on the road. We've got quite a few little mini trips coming up, but the show will go on. Great with today's technology and our special Star Trek boxes, man. We can broadcast from anywhere.
And your awesome producer. Yeah. And your awesome producer.
And and our boy Yang. What's up, Yang? Yeah.
What's going on there, buddy? I was going to say, Cam, next time you're drinking with the Filipinos, man, tell them to bring out the lumpia. That is awesome.
What's it called?
Lumpia.
Lumpia. It's like a Filipino egg roll. It's amazing.
Oh.
They have that dip it with the sweet and sour sauce, buddy.
Oh, buddy, you had me at egg roll. Sounds great.
I've never had Filipino food.
Oh, yeah, it's amazing, man. Some, like, lumpia and some pancit. Oh, amazing.
They like to eat. Love barbecue, too, Morenci. When the summer's
they like
rolling,
barbecue. Yeah.
Oh, they're really happy in the summer. Like,
aren't they, like, they're like Portuguese and, like, Argentinians. Don't they love, like, just big slabs of meat on, like, a metal pole and stuff like that?
Yeah, shave.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, Game Time Decision, Red Heat Rage Radio continues. Fantasy Sports Radio Network, iHeartRadio, now on YouTube. I'm Dimo Moretti, the Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, throwing it down with us. I just wanted to get to this. We'll bring Whale Capper in. And, you know, Whale Capper's the type of guy I think, Cam, that probably would do well on Jeopardy.
Yes.
You know what? Come on, man. The guy's measuring, like, earthquakes and stuff like that.
Very true.
You and I can't even spell Richter scale.
You're right. I'd spell it like Mike Richter.
Yeah, if they put us on the clock, Richter scale. Exactly.
Mike Richter scale.
You'd think, like, you'd be like, shit, what did it say on the back of that jersey? Richter.
Right. What? What's Richter?
R-I-C-H.
Yeah, Richter.
So Jeopardy champion James Holhauser. The guy keeps winning, all right? But he only won by 18 bucks the other night.
Wow.
And so now he's already getting cocky, though, and stuff like that. So he did an interview, and they asked him, you know, all right, so we keep hearing, you know, pro sports gambler. So he said, yeah, what he really wanted to do was be a Major League Baseball general manager. And he said he grew up and he was a fan. He didn't want to be a player, but he was a fan of Billy Beane and Theo Epstein. And, like, he's analytics and, you know, he wanted to be a baseball guy. And he goes, but, you know, life goes on and et cetera. And now he's talking, he goes, well, now maybe things are different. He's considering actively pursuing a front office career. And he goes, I would at least have to think about it if the right offer came along. And I'm thinking to myself, it's like, bro, you've won Jeopardy 14 times in a row, right? Good for you. Ken Jennings won Jeopardy 74 times in a row. I ain't making him the GM of my Buffalo Bills.
I know.
Like, bros, how about the ego on this guy? All right, we get it. You're good at Jeopardy. Doesn't mean you could be the GM of the Dodgers. Let's bring Whale Capper in right now. What do you think, Whale Capper?
I mean, there's a precedent. Haralabob got hired by a front office in the NBA. People can make the leap.
You're right.
At some point, if you have a skill set, if you have a skill, I mean, I don't know how good a pro gambler is. This guy is obviously amazing at Jeopardy, but let's definitely separate those skill sets because, you know, for sure being especially fast on the buzzer and having an ability to, you know, game theory, you know, your way past two other opponents in a quiz show is very different than constructing a multi-level organization and talent evaluate baseball and then find inefficiencies and optimize them. I mean, that is a very, very different skill set involved for sure. I think if you're a professional gambler and you have, an ability to identify an edge that the market otherwise is not identifying, and you can use that to your advantage to win money betting sports, then, you know, it is in the interest of professional sports teams to seek out and, you know, reach out and try to improve their organization by utilizing those skills and talents as well. So, I mean, it's a fascinating kind of crossover. And, you know, the more and more sports betting becomes accepted and, you know, part of mainstream culture, I bet you'll see more of this.
But I'll say this, I'll just state, just because he can name, you know, all seven characters on the Brady Bunch, like you said, doesn't mean he's going to, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I said, Whale Capper, and I've told this to a few people, and I've told it to a few handicappers who have been on the air with us, and none of them like it. They all sort of get silent after because I think they're like, oh, no, don't do that. And it just goes to show, Cam, as well, about how this James Holzhauser guy thinks bigger than I do. Because he's like, I'm winning. He's like, man, I always wanted to be a baseball GM. And like you said, PP's in Sports Illustrated now. They're talking about it, right? So he's like, people are taking it seriously. Yeah. So he threw it out there. I told people, I was like, man, if I was this guy, I'd already have the website done and I'd become a handicapper. I think. Because basically I'd sell it. I'd have my face on a thing and I'd be like, I'm the guy that won Jeopardy 22 nights in a row. I know everything, including who's going to cover on Monday Night Football between the Vikings and the Lions.
You know what I mean?
You got to say this, though, guys. He's gambling.
Year.
his gambling is blowing these people away. Every time there's a problem with this guy, the problem with the regular person is this guy just goes balls deep every single time, every single time, every single time. And you know, Gabe, when you've been in situations in Whale Cappers, you gamble, that 6-foot putt, if you've done it and you're playing your buddy for $1,000, you can hit it more than you miss. These other people, to them, it's just a trivia contest, but he's taken all the other elements and basically he puts their minds in orbit just the way he attacks the game show. It's brilliant.
He had an aggressive guy the other day. I don't watch it, but I read about it after. And I guess it was a sports analyst, whatever the hell that means. Like you said, Will Capper.
Was everybody a sports analyst? He's a Capper,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like an analyst sports guy from Boston. I think he's an MIT guy or some guy, smart kid. And he only lost by $18. Like, $18. He was right there. And Trebek is sort of hinting right now they're getting tired of him. Because he said off the top of the show, he goes, well, Holzhauser, he's won 2 weeks in a row. He's like, but you never know what's going to happen. He goes, the competition could be tough tonight. And then it was $18. It's like we said, guys, they're bringing in the heavyweights now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're like, what about that smart, geeky guy in Iowa? Let's get him on the show this week. Like, they're going to start bringing in hitmen to take this guy down, Will Capper.
I like it. I mean, they're getting the attention. Like, people are tuning in now to see if someone can beat him, so they better deliver on some legit challengers. I mean, it's, you know, this is...
How would you do on Jeopardy?
I would probably be fine, but I don't think I could be of the level to take down a guy who's been practicing and has the game theory down to this level. I mean, certainly he's making the legitimate, strong plus EV decisions in terms of his gameplay, and that's repeatable. Like, you can copy his style of play and take away that advantage, which is good. He seems to have a knack for getting the button in, getting the buzzer in, ahead of the competition.
That's a big thing. There's a lot of smart people, but I also read that they said that he's actually the best ever at it. They're like, he's lightning fast. Because a lot of times, everyone's smart up there, right? You know, a lot of other times, the guy sat next to him thinking, man, I effing knew that answer, but this guy gets the buzzer so quick. I told you guys the story. I knew a dude, he made the cut, and he got booted off the set because he kept hitting the buzzer too quickly, and he was delaying the TV taping too much, and they finally told him, you're done.
That's awesome.
He said you got to push it down hard. He goes, maybe they have an easier one now. It's sort of like, like a pen. It's not just like a touch thing.
You got to put some force into it.
Yes, your thumb. So it's like Holzhauser probably knew this son of a bitch, right?
Of course
this guy was probably at home working his thumb out before he went there and stuff. Because he's just like, bang, bang, bang. Because a lot of guys know the answers. He's just beating into the punch all the time.
Yeah, right. I mean, in reaction time is a skill, right? Like, I growing up a swimmer, like, there were some sprinters who are just that much faster at reacting to the buzzer. That's an enormously important advantage. It's huge advantage. You know, same track as well. You could be extremely fast, but if you're getting out of the block, a tenth of a second slower than your competition, then you're toast. Because the margins are that thin. Maybe he might have a skill at reacting to, when to press the buzzer in a way that would nuke someone who doesn't have that skill, and who the hell knows. It's sure as hell given Jeopardy a little bit of a shot in the arm and giving them some cultural relevance, because it's been a long time since I heard anything about Jeopardy.
What's the over-under for you think before he gets tossed then, Morenci? You're saying it's close. Trebek's getting sour. Guys are getting $18 behind. It's happening. Like, how many more shows do you think? If you were to make a Vegas over-under for this guy, how many lives do you think he's got?
I say he doesn't get to $2 million. I think he's at like 1.5, 1.6. He's winning basically about 90 to 100K a night type thing. I think he's got a couple of wins left, like six shows.
Yeah,
I think he's got about a week left or something. And they're going to bring out – it's great TV, though. I'm going to have to watch it. Like, just out some, like, librarian woman. You know what I mean? Like, just bring out an assassin, deadly, no sense of humor chick that just like slaughters them. You know, they need to lie too. Like, it's almost like the old like shows. I would just start like finding out, all right, he knows everything. Let's start hitting him with classical music and just like start going different and shake it up a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, but you know, it's crazy, guys. So last Thursday, and we're seeing in the chat here, he only won by 1,000 the other night. So he's getting closer, guys. I'm telling you, they've upped the contestants like that they're bringing in to play against him. But last week, so it feels like forever. So last week, Whale Capper, you, me, and Cam were talking about the NFL draft. And the NFL draft was broadcast on ABC as well. I didn't even know it was going to be broadcast on ABC. I didn't care. But anyways, people were pissed. Long story short, Jeopardy got preempted. Jeopardy's like a syndicated show, but I guess, it's on a lot of ABC affiliates for the most part, with a couple of exceptions. So people were pissed. I'm missing the record setting. Like, hell half have no fury, like Jeopardy fans, man. So like you said, like, people are watching this because they want to see if he's going to can break Ken Jennings' record. Ken Jennings won 74 shows in a row and only won $2 million. This guy's only won like 14 shows and he's already at like $1.5 million or something. The money's bigger now, so it's a little bit different. But I think they're getting tired of paying him. And I think people, it's to the point where it's like people are sick of him. And it's like, all right, you got to go. We'll take a quick break. On the other side, we'll find out what Whale Capper has to say about the Toronto Raptors, we the North, and the Philadelphia 76ers, for whom the Liberty Bell tolls.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Bacon Rain with Joe Ranieri and Dave Martinez weekday morning from 6 to 9. Then my buddy Lorenzi and Ranieri from 9 to 12 on the morning after here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. They get you caught up on all the previous night's action and prep for the sports wagering day ahead. You can also watch the broadcast on YouTube and participate in the chat room or watch it on Periscope, Twitch TV, or countless other popular platforms. Become part of the show. Tune in for the entertainment, the knowledge, and the extra money they'll be putting in your pockets. That's Make It Rain with Joe Ranieri and Dane Martinez, then Gabe Morenci and Ranieri 9 to 12 on Morning After. Everything starts at 6 a.m. here on the Fantasy Sports Network. Back to you, Gabe.
That's right. It starts pretty freaking early, 6 a.m.
Early bird gets the worm, buddy.
All right, let's get to the basketball right now.
Yep.
Toronto Raptors minus 1.5. Over under 217. Let's get an updated series price. And came down a little bit, actually. It went up here. And it didn't come down. I was thinking of the 220. Check out, what is it at Bet365 now, Cam? Do you have that open? Do you have that book open?
So you want the series price, not the NBA championship
price? Yeah, the series price. Yeah.
Okay.
Because remember, listen, I played Whale Capper. I played the Raptors to win the series yesterday at minus 174. And I was a little pissed off because I thought it was, it was minus 160, like right after they lost, like immediately the other night. But I didn't get out to the book. So when I got there yesterday, it was 174. And I was like, all right, I'll take it. So I was pissed off. But then when I got back home, I checked Bet365, which is a good book, like to check numbers, like accurate. And they were dealing Raptors minus 220. Now I look at FanDuel where I played this yesterday at minus 174. It's minus 198, so the money has come in on Toronto. Either that or they respect me so much, they move the number after my massive $250 Raptor series price wager. What is it at Bet365 now, Cam?
Yeah, I'm still trying to find it here. It's on the futures. It's got NBA futures. It says, to win conference. No, we don't want that. We want series. It says game and series double. No. When will the series
finish?
That's
not taking Holhauser down.
No, I'm not. Oh, the win series. Found it.
It is confusing.
Yeah, yeah. Give confusing. Me a break here. Like, I don't have a buzzer, and it's all green, and I can't see. And, yeah, anyway, it's 230, buddy, 230. Minus 230.
Wow.
Sixers plus 190.
So my minus 174 price isn't bad. What do you think, Will Cowper, about the
price.
Series and coming into tonight game?
Well, for sure, not just, I mean, influential money has hit the Raptors tonight pretty hard. And I think that's probably reflected in the series price as well. I don't know that I'm willing to get involved in the Raptors tonight. It's an awfully high energy environment in Philadelphia when you're talking playoff basketball. My approach to attack tonight's game, I see some value on the Sixers in the first half. This was always going to be an extremely competitive series. Expected this to go 6 or 7 games. And I still think nothing that I've seen so far has changed my mind on that. The Sixers have a couple of mismatches that they can take advantage of. They did a good job of that in game two. The Raptors were on a 5-game win streak heading into that game two. So the idea that there was going to be a letdown was not shocking. Similarly for the Celtics, you know, in that second game against the Bucks, they were right. You can only win, you know, so many in a row before you have a letdown in the playoffs, especially. And, you know, you combine that with the fact that, you know, it's early in the series. There's not a ton of, you know, urgency, I guess is the right word.
Yep.
And, you know, you get a little bit of a flat performance out of the Raptors. I didn't think I thought that the officiating was pretty fair in game two. And I would expect that you see another game tonight, which comes down to, you know, kind of who has the ball at the end and whether or not those shots, those players can make those shots. I do love Kyle Lowry in Philly. That guy freaking balls when he's in Philly. It's his old stomping ground coming from Villanova. That's probably my favorite look, to be honest. I really like that Lowry over Pop. And, you know, and I would expect when Lowry does damage, it's okay. Nice. Nice. That's nice. I like that. And when Lowry does damage, don't get me wrong. Like, Lowry's not a playoff dynamo. He's running around out there looking like a fire plug. But, you know, for sure, he does bring his best when he's in Philadelphia. He loves to get that crowd going. In the away kind of, you know, like put it in their face kind of way. He plays with that type of chip on his shoulder when he's on the road. So I like him to just get the Raptors home with a nice fourth quarter performance tonight. But as far as betting the game, I'm going to be looking for the Sixers to win the first half. And then I'm probably going to roll that into a second half under, depending on what the pace of play is like. If it's a little bit wide open in the first half, if we have something in the, you know, 110, 115 ballpark in terms of total points scored in the first half, I'm probably going to come in on that second half under, expecting that we have a pretty tight game in the second half and that, you know, that it comes down to kind of possessions and, you know, in the last 4 minutes and who, you know, where you have, you're going through the entirety of the shot clock and, you know, you have a contested, you know, difficult shot to make to try to seal the deal. So, should be a very fun game.
The total is 217 points, guys.
You're right, Gabe. And it was 216 and a half. It's been hovering around. And Gabe, we talked about this yesterday.
People like the over for some reason.
Whale Capper, I'd be careful with the over. Like, look at this. Look at the Denver Nuggets game too. Like, look what's happening in these games. People are just blindly betting overs. It's not happening. Like, they're actually playing some defense in the playoffs. I think it's very, very dangerous, Whale Capper, just to automatically assume these things are going over because teams are actually buckling down.
Yeah, there's a lot of game. There's specifically 2 game scripts that favor an under in the playoffs. One is a competitive game, and obviously these teams are relatively equal strength. And if you have a competitive game and you get into the fourth quarter and it's like, you know, in every possession, you know, the intensity ratchets up. And you have a scenario where you're not incentivized to foul late. You're incentivized to play good defense for 24 seconds. That will absolutely wipe out the clock in the fourth quarter and get your game under the total. The other thing that we see pretty commonly that happens in these playoffs when you're early in the series and one team or the other plays especially well, You can have a scenario play out where they just kind of, they don't want to fire their bullets in the fourth quarter. They don't want to give away their strategic edges in terms of what they're trying to do to attack you. And so it'll just be kind of run out the clock in the fourth quarter if the game is out of reach. And so those, you know, those two scenarios, you have to kind of consider what are either of these two in play before you make a play on a total for the full game. And I think both are, you know, both are in play for most of the games in this series. Early on here. If I had to pick a side, if I had to pick a total pregame, I'm probably looking under, but I don't think there's enough of an edge to really get involved. I think you're going to get a much better swing at it at halftime if it's pretty wide open first half, which Philadelphia 76ers games tend to be.
The game won the first quarter was high scoring. It really slowed down. The Raptors have played 7 playoff games, 6-1 to the under. Only one game's got over it. In fact, they've only given up more than 96 points once in the playoffs. I mean, even the game they lost the other night, they only gave up 94 points. And they were right there late with the missed three. Philadelphia is an intense place to play one way or the other, right? It can also be intense in a negative way for the home team, as Philly fans tend to turn on the team very, very quickly.
That's true.
Yeah, the Sixer players complained about it against Brooklyn. Embiid and Ben Simmons both said it sucks. They're like, you know, it's not cool. And, you know, every time we take a shot, if you're going to boo after, it's, you know, that's not making our life any easier. We need to be supported and we feed off the energy. But when they're hitting shots, the Philly fans, they're great. They're going crazy and stuff. The Raptors are going to have to just take that away from them. Raptors have been a good road team. It's an interesting dynamic with Kyle Lowry going home, and he usually does play well there. Kawhi Leonard is living up to his reputation, 45 and 35, 80 freaking points, averaging 40 points a game through the two games. All right, so before we get you out of here, Whale Capper, tomorrow's games. We go into Boston, Milwaukee, Denver, Portland, and then you got the Warriors. So we got about 4 or 5 minutes here with you, 4 minutes or so. What catches your eye the most, and what's the best investment for us moving forward? Anything catch your eye?
I think the Celtics are a better team than the Bucks, to be honest. And we haven't seen enough solid play from Giannis Antetokounmpo to convince me that he is going to be the difference maker in this series. I like the Celtics a lot in this game to bounce back. I felt like the officiating in game two was fairly lopsided in the third quarter. I felt like they did an especially poor job of kind of balancing things out in that third quarter when the Bucks went on that hellacious run and pretty much put the game away. It's strange and it's unfortunate that we live in the world where the refereeing is so influential, especially in these early series, but the incentives are not well aligned. Like, the referees want more games and the NBA wants more games. Like, there's a lot of incentives here that are aligned to make sure these series go long. Especially in the Eastern Conference, in round one, we had three sweeps and the other two were 4-1. So
I brought this up to someone earlier this morning. Things have been moving pretty quickly when you consider the NBA title is usually awarded like June 20th, June 21st and stuff like that. Seriously. Like, they're ahead of the pace. You're right.
Yeah. And in particular, I think they know this is the sweet spot right now. They have the media landscape pretty much to themselves. The NFL draft is over. Kentucky Derby's sucking a little air out of the room this week, but not enough to really make an impact. I think the NBA, the refs, and all the stakeholders involved would like to see these Eastern Conference series go long. And I think you're going to see, you have to just kind of be cognizant of who's reffing games and which crews are somewhat susceptible to, certain game scripts being played out to extend series. And, in game two, I thought we saw that with brothers and crew in Milwaukee. So just keep your eyes open for who's got what game.
All right, so we got about a minute left here. You just brought up the Kentucky Derby. Do you like anything as far as the Run for the Roses is concerned?
Oh, my goodness. It's such a compelling handicap this year. I was all in on Omaha Beach being by far and away the class of the field until he got scratched yesterday, and it completely turns the race on its head. I think you're probably, if you're the kind of handicapper who likes to key on a couple of horses at the top of a trifecta or a superfecta, I think the horses to do the most digging on are Improbable and Maximum Security. Maximum Security's got the speed, but he hasn't necessarily shown the ability to sustain that speed over as long a race as the Derby is. So he's a little bit of a wild card, a little bit of an unknown. And then on the flip side, Improbable is the best and the most well-positioned of the Baffert horses. And as you look down the list of trainers and jockeys who are in this race, it's just a whole slew of inexperienced folks. Baffert is one of two trainers who has won the Derby before who has a horse in this race. There are only two jockeys now, with Mike Smith being, heading to the grandstand to watch the race. So he had basically made his choice. I will ride for Omaha Beach. Now he's going to be watching. Now there are only two jockeys who have ever won the Kentucky Derby before. So this thing is wide open, but if I had to take one horse, I'm looking for Improbable.
Improbable. Thanks, Will Capper. Find him on Twitter.
Buddy.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, Game Time Decisions, Ready and Rage on radio, Fantasy Sports on Radio Network. I'm Jim McFetzy. We've got Marco D'Angelo, Wager Talk, is going to join us from Las Vegas. In about 10 minutes of time, we'll talk Kentucky Derby, NBA basketball with Marco. We've got Bobby Boston's on hold right now. He's ready to go. You know, we can get him after. Let's just squeeze him in here. We'll do it quickly. And I'll tell you, Cam, too, and Yang, if you could, I didn't tell you before, because the interview's a little shorter. We only had about 6-7 minutes with him. He was on the way to the track. There was noise and stuff like that. But, Cam, you know what we had on the morning show this morning?
Who?
Mike Smith.
Legendary jockey. Wow, Mike Smith, who would have rode the favorite horse in the race. What a get. I got to hand it to you guys. I'm not buttering the company's bread here, but you got Rice, you got Mike Smith. These are A1 people. Like, these are A-plus people, Gabe. Good stuff.
Yeah, and Mike Smith picked the winner of the race, actually. So maybe we'll play that after. It's short.
Nice teaser. I get it.
Yeah. It's a shorter interview, Yang, too. But so don't worry.
We'll play it.
All right. Bobby Boston, what's up, Bob? Big game tonight for the Bruins.
Hey, guys. How you doing, Cam and Gabe? How you guys doing today?
Big game for the Bruins tonight, Bob. Who you picking, Bruins or Jackets?
Yeah, I'm going for the Bruins tonight. Sorry.
Who do you like tomorrow, the Celtics or the Bucks?
I like the Celtics.
I'm not a big Bucks fan.
It's really Bob from Boston.
You really are turning into a Boston fan, Bob. Like, Bruins and Celtics?
Well,
like, you got a Barstool tattoo now, too?
Huh?
You got a Barstool tattoo now?
I never liked Duke.
Duke's in North Carolina.
I don't like Duke.
All right, what's your prediction, like, Bob? What's the final score, Boston and Columbus?
Love it.
Oh, tonight? I think the score will be 3-2, Boston.
3-2, Boston. All right, Bobby Boston. 3-2. Speak to you in the morning. Get your Kentucky Derby pick ready. Watch the pick tomorrow.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Everybody, I'm Cam Stewart, your Fantasy Sports News Update. Lots of baseball action today, and what a day for Thor. The Mets blanking Cincinnati 1-0. Noah Syndergaard, complete game, four-hitter, 10 Ks. And that's just not it, ladies and gentlemen. He got the only Mets run with a home run. What a day for the pitcher. Fantastic. San Diego hammering Atlanta, 11-2 the final. Strom gets the win. Foltynewicz the loss. Minnesota beating up on Houston, 8-2 final. Berrios, he wins his fifth of the year, 5-1. Peacock, he gets the loss for the Stros. Twins taking 3-4 from the Astros. Good performance. Colorado beating up on Milwaukee, 11-6 the final. Johnny Gray the win. Freddy Peralta, he picks up the L. Tampa Bay and Kansas City, this one is now final. Rays win 3-1. Korolek the win. Peralta the loss. And Castillo, he picks up save number 4 for the Rays. St. Louis and Washington currently still in a rain delay. Games tonight, 8-10. Bob's Boston Red Sox laying 170 against the White Sox. Over under 8.5. Price Giolito. Last game on the board tonight, we got the Blue Jays and Angels. Angels minus 135. Over under 8.5. Sanchez versus Skaggs. The Cubs have reinstated shortstop Addison Russell following a 40-game suspension for violating the MLB's domestic violence policy. He's been sent down to AAA Iowa. Tyreek Hill's lawyer issuing a 4-page letter to the NFL denying the child abuse allegations against the Chiefs receiver. Hill has been told not to participate in team activities after reviewing a troubling audio tape involving Hill and his fiancée. The pair were investigated for child abuse, but the case was closed due to lack of evidence over who committed the crime against their child. In today's letter, Hill's attorney, Trey Patton, writes that his client will cooperate with the NFL's investigation, and the recordings have been made available to the league via the NFLPA. Hill is currently undergoing individual and family counseling right now. The Buffalo Bills want Bills Mafia to cool it down a little bit. The Bills now introducing a tailgate village for the 2019 season. Not cool, Marenzi. No more fire, no more tables. They want a more family-style event instead of a bunch of piss tanks going through tables and lighting each other on fire. Pure debauchery. The new table village will cost about $15 per person. The area is going to have tents, tables, and a house DJ. Wow. So no more tailgating by your parked car and gunning Genesee lights. He gone. One more game in the NBA playoffs tonight. Raptors and Philly. The Sixers at 8 o'clock. This game tips off. Raptors laying 1.5. Money line, minus 120. Over under, 217.5. Best of 7 series tied at 1. Boston Celtics president of basketball operations, Danny Ainge, suffering a mild heart attack this week, but he's on the mend. Good news. The 60-year-old also suffered a mild heart attack in 2009, received immediate medical attention, and is expected to make a full recovery. He travels back to Boston later on tonight. Pair of games in the NHL playoffs. Columbus and Boston at 7:30 Eastern. Jackets minus 130. Total 5.5 in this game. They're up 2-1 in the series. And game 2 of the double bill, 10 o'clock. Colorado plays SJ Sharkey. Avalanche laying 130 over under 6. San Jose leads the best of 7 series 2-1. And the Sharks are now the current Stanley Cup favorites on the betting board, plus 325. Let's take a look at golf right now. It's Thursday, round 1 of PGA's Wells Fargo Championship from Quail Hollow. And we still have a 4-way tie for the lead at 4 under par. Patrick Reed, we got Taylor, Martin Laird's there, and Adam Schenck, all 4 under. Right now, Rory McIlroy, he is in the mix at 3 under par out of the big names. Kelly McCrimmon has been promoted to general manager of the Las Vegas Golden Knights today. And Red Wings and Maple Leaf hockey legend Red Kelly has passed away at the age of 91. Kelly's 8 Stanley Cups are more than any player in NHL history who didn't play for the Montreal Canadiens. He's been named as one of the 100 best players of all time, and his number 4 has been retired by Detroit and Toronto. Europa League soccer, Gabe, I'm giving it all. Europa League, baby. Hey, we got Arsenal beating Valencia 3-1. Eintracht Frankfurt and Chelsea play to a 1-1 draw. I'm Cam Stewart. Hey, it's hour 2 coming up here on Red Heat and Rage, hosted by Gabe Morenci. We got more sports talk and a hell of a lot of fun. Stay tuned, everybody. Hour 2's next.
All you have to decide is what to do with the time that is given to you.
Game time decisions.
Level 2.
you know, it was a fun morning show this morning. We had Paul Bovey in studio. Good to see Paul. Paul's great, NBA prop player. It's funny. He brought up Kyle Lowry this morning, too. I said, what are you doing with the game? He says, the Raptors are going to win, but I'm hammering the props. Kyle Lowry over. And I don't want to speak, but I believe he likes Siakam over tonight. He thinks Siakam's going to bounce back with a big game tonight. I see Siakam is at 20 and a half points. So, Cam, when you were out you know, buying burgers and stuff, I went through another pair of shoes, buddy. We had to get a new pair, and it's too bad because on the outside they look good, but on the inside, the old stink foot caught up to them. You know, so another one bites the dust, but we added a new one to the rotation. Not bad. Under Armour today.
Oh, yeah. Oh, know what? I'm going to tell you something about those two just from the looks. Yeah, show me again. I'll tell you. Those light
shoes
look
comfortable?
Have more. They do. They're like a better made version of Skechers for Howie Long. You know, hey, nice Miss Carpigger. I want to feel comfortable. But I'll tell you something about those. You'll be happy with them because when you're like me and you and suffering from swamp foot, the heavier the shoe, the worse swamp foot you'll get. You need it light. You need the air perforations
on the
side.
I was in the store.
Yes.
And I was like, you know what? And I remember I used to always have like Air Jordan this and that. I was like, I was in that
too
mood.
Heavy.
I'm in a basketball mood. And I went in there and I'm like, oh, those are cool. I pick them up and I didn't even know what they were. Turned out it was the Kyrie Irving Nike Diamond whatever the hell. And it's like, you know, $149, $139. Like you said, it's kind of clunky. And I realized, I'm like, man, I can't be walking around. I'm not 17 years old. I can't be walking around with some like weird gold star on my shoe. And like, this is nice and simple. It's like old man shoe, but not quite. You know what I mean?
I'll give you another tip. I'll give you another tip with that shoe. It's very important, Gabe. You must listen to me because you want shoes to last. Heavy, heavy socks are another problem that contributes
to problem.
Because when they get wet, they're harder and they seep in the thing. Try to wear, even though it's going to feel like you're sweating them more. I've been buying more dress socks for my shoes, and I tend to be getting a few more months out of them. Trust me, Gabe. You know, you trust me with a few things. Grocery shopping lists and stuff. I'm all over this stuff.
We're on the same page. I bought some socks today, and I hated them all. They were all too thick.
Yep.
Thick cotton socks. I'm like, man, like you said, swamp foot. Yeah, that's the problem, man.
No, you need thin dress shoes, socks.
So let's play the Price is Right. Brand new Under Armour. How much?
Those are
how much
nice
you think,
shoes, man.
How much
they're
you
right
think
your style?
Shoe?
I bet you bought that shoe. It's very nice. I think you got it probably
them,
on
I got
sale
from,
for.
Got them from one of our sponsors.
What? Modell's?
Modell's.
Yeah, I got my. I'll tell you a story about Modell's. When Nando gave me that gift card a while ago, I walked in there. I got a champion T-shirt and two beautiful, my best underwear. I got Under Armour underwear. My balls have never been freer, Gabe. Like, it feels great. It's like they're air-conditioned, man. I've never had a pair of underwear that was that dry.
Dude,
anyway, let's talk
really,
about
huh?
your shoes.
Dude,
60,
it's funny you say that because I've never thought about underwear too much in the past. And I've ridden Commando for a lot of years. But, dude, I bought some boxers from Rite Aid Pharmacy. And not a good idea, bro.
Nope.
And, you know, what's the word? Chafing and readjusting.
Get,
I'm like that commercial Tommy Chott. I got the wedgies.
Swamp
crotch. I'm all over the
crotch.
Place.
Swamp crotch. Don't need that. I'll tell you something. You can't put a price on
there's
good underwear.
Your promo. My balls have never been freer.
My balls have never been freer, Yang. No more swamp crotch. Okay,
swamp
under
crotch?
Underwear.
Oh, my God. That's no good. Swamp crotch?
No good. Nope,
swamp feet? I mean,
it.
Like, you know, they have, like, you know, Dr. Scholl's.
Remember the commercial, Yang? My feet smell so bad. My wife calls me swamp foot.
Hell of a guess, Cam.
$64.99. Great value.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Game Time Decision. Red Heat Rager Radio. I tell you, that first hour is going to be tough to top as we just wrapped it up. Well, you can't get a much better plug for Under Armour than that.
Yeah.
As we just talked about their great shoes, and Cam talked about how his balls have never been freer since wearing Under Armour boxers.
It breathes, and it's like spandex. I'm not going to say they're cheap. I got a two-pack at Modell's for like $25, $30. That's a lot, $15 for a pair of underwear. You can't put a price on it. Never felt
that. Is that what you did with the gift certificate, the gift card?
Yep. Yeah, I bought a Champion shirt and some underwear. $50, right on the number.
So,
the lady goes, wow, you really nailed that hard. Like, no,
Jim Brown,
it was exactly 50.
The Jim Brown jersey was exchanged, in other words, for two pairs of boxers and a Champion. Because Cam won a James Brown jersey, Cleveland Browns, Jim Brown.
Great jersey. Great jersey.
But it didn't fit him, so I took it. And I won a $50 gift certificate, gift card from Odell's. So we exchanged the jersey for the gift card. But let's bring Marco to the edge in right now to help us talk Kentucky Derby and more. WagerTalk.com's Marco D'Angelo. Marco, always a pleasure. How you doing? Hello, Marco.
Hey, Christmas time.
Hello, Marco. Hold on a second.
Buddy? Good.
Thought we were past this. Basically, whenever there's like a little error or a miscue on the show, Marco, we consider like the producer's like a pitcher. You know what I mean? Like your mic level not being up, that's like a double right there. So we got a runner on second base. Not a run hasn't scored, but that's a double, Yang.
Just get out of it. Score. Get out of the jam.
Yes. Scorekeeper's here. But
I've gotten out of better jams than this, man.
Yeah, yeah. You better play some effort
down.
Defense on the way out here. Now.
You got All it, right. buddy.
Hello, Marco.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good stuff, Marco. So sorry. So, yeah, I just showed off. I said, yeah, Cam, I just bought some new shoes, Under Armour. Cam told me, yeah, my balls have never been freer since I've been starting wearing Under Armour boxers. So that's where we're at in level one. Hope you can
I'll tell you what, I'll try to top that. I don't know if I can do that. He set the bar pretty high there, you know, whenever, you know, his balls have never been more comfortable.
It's tough. It's a tough line to top. All right. So. All right, guys. Kentucky Derby. Were you in on Omaha Beach before the scratch, Marco?
Yeah, I liked Omaha Beach a lot. It's a unfortunate situation for him. It's good that it's not a serious injury that he has. It's not really even an injury. He's going to have a procedure done. Minor surgery. I've had it done to my horses many times, and he'll be back in a few weeks as good as new.
All right, so how... do you agree with the new favorite right now? And we had the opportunity to speak to Mike Smith this morning. We got lucky. Boom. It was off guard, too. They're like, hey, Mike Smith's coming on in a couple of minutes. So we spoke to Mike Smith, and we asked him to cap the race. And, of course, there was a lot of talk, Marco, about him not riding Roadster and him going with Omaha Beach. He said it was a tough decision, but he thought that Omaha Beach was the better horse for this track, not necessarily the better horse. He said just for this track, he thought it was the best setting. But he didn't pick. He didn't pick after Roadster to win. He actually said game winner. We asked him to cap the race, and he said if he was going to the window, he would take game winner.
Well, I'm taking a horse out of the Bob Baffert barn, but it's game winner is on my tickets. There's no question about it. But the horse that I like a little better than that is the 5 horse, Improbable. And it's just because this is going to be the horse. He's going to get the best trip. Having the 5 hole, he's got enough tactical speed to get out of the gate and grab position where he wants to. He'll be sitting in what we like to refer to as the stalkers, and that's the best place to be in the Derby. A stalking horse, obviously, is a horse that's just off those front runners. He'll get the first jump on the field. And the jockey, last time they made a switch, they went to Irod Ortiz on this horse, and he is a big upgrade over, you know, Drayden Van Dyke. No, Vaden.
Oh, big time.
Drayden. He's an up-and-coming jockey, don't get me wrong. And he had a big year last year. He rides the Southern California circuit, had a big year at Santa Anita and Del Mar last year. But, you know, to have Ortiz on this horse is huge, and this will be the second, ride. First one, no matter what the trainers tell you and everything, you still don't know how that horse is going to react and the things he likes to do and doesn't like to do till you actually ride him in a race. And now he's had one under his belt, raced very well in that race. And, oh, by the way, who was the horse he finished second to in his last race, the Arkansas Derby? But it was Omaha Beach, and that was only his second.
Too. In the slop, right? In the rain, and it's going to be this weather. I love that, you know, he nearly caught him there. He was coming on improbable, and now you have improbable running in the rain or running in the soup, as Kenny called it yesterday. I was looking at improbable, too, as a very dangerous horse, Marco and Cam. And I know you're a big Irod Ortiz fan, Cam.
Yes, I am. And I was going to ask Marco, too. It's funny. With Irod Ortiz, Marco, I'm going with the brother, Jose Ortiz, and he's on Tacitus, and I really respect Gabe. I think Gabe likes Maximum Security. He's at plus 850 right now, Tacitus. What is your feeling about that? And, you know, when you talk about certain trainers, Bob Baffert, he's there, been there, done that, and he's going to be there. When Bill Mott brings in horses, you know he kind of means business. He's just one of those guys, like, before him entering the Kentucky Derby, he has to think that his horse has a great chance. I'm seeing this horse at 9-10-1, and he's the one I'll be betting on and putting it in exotics. What do you think of Tacitus there, Marco?
Yeah, I have him in my exotics. The one thing I will say going in of the prep races, I thought the Wood Memorial was the softer of the field, and he was able in that race to be able – there was two horses on the front end that were going really stupid fractions, and they were setting off the pace, and he was able to attack that race and win the race easily when those two horses suicide fractions on the front end were able to get tired, and they made an easy move and got the win, but he did race good. The thing that I also like about, Tacitus, this is a horse, he's 2-for-2 this year. This is the third start off of a layoff. You know, he raced twice last year, gave him a break, and then came on for his three-year-old season. Generally, form cycle-wise, whenever you're looking at these horses, the third race back off of a layoff is going to be the best race. You need that race or two to get tight again and get a shape, and it looks like he'll be peaking at the right time on the first Saturday in May. The one thing with William Ott, Bill Ott, he won every race, basically, in horse racing. He's one of the best trainers in the game. The only race he has not gotten yet is the Kentucky Derby. You know he wants it. This is probably his best horse having the opportunity to do so, and he'll be running kind of mid-pack. I expect him to get away 7th, 8th, and be in that first group of closers, the late stuckers, mid-pack. If it is muddy, the stone cold closers could have some problems. Horses, you know, you get the mud thrown up in your face, the track's bad. You got to navigate through 20 horses, you know, when you're coming from dead last or way in the backpack. So we'll see what happens with that. But this is a good horse to put on your ticket. Horse I want to talk about, guys, you mentioned him too. Maximum Security. This horse is undefeated, guys. But
that's who I'm calling.
But he's not getting a lot of buzz, and I'll tell you why. This is a horse that first, he's got 4 lifetime starts, 4-for-4. You go back, look at that first race, the rest of his career, you could have bought this horse. He was a claiming race. You could have got him in a
$16,000.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't tell me this, Marco.
Because we could have bought a race horse instead of another horse.
We've raced in $16,000 claims before, and let me tell you, our horse ain't winning the effing Florida Derby anytime soon.
Well, this is the thing, guys. Those first three races, he raced against nobody. I mean, these were nowhere near Kentucky Derby caliber horses. His first test was the Florida Derby. I was at the Florida Derby live. Went down there with our buddy Ralph.
I do a show with Maneri, so Joe was there with you guys, and he said it was a slow ass field. He said it was a slow race. Hold on, because we're getting a real education in horse racing here from Marco D'Angelo.
Beautiful.
We'll take a break, Marco. And then we'll hit Max on the other side. That's the guy I always take the Florida Derby winner. I'm glad you bring him up here. We'll definitely hit him. And for the record, Mark Lawrence, but it's yesterday, he likes a coat of honor.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Game Time Decisions, Red Heat Rage Radio, continues Fantasy Sports Radio Network, iHeart Radio, now on YouTube as well. I'm Gabriel Morenci, throwing it down to Raging Redhead. Cam Stewart, we're in the New Jersey. We're on the Jersey side of the Hudson right now. Raging Redhead, Cam Stewart, within a trot of Woodbine Racetrack and Casino, and Marco D'Angelo joins us from Las Vegas, Nevada. Do you have a... We were talking to Mark Lawrence yesterday, and I asked him, I said, Mark, you have a Kentucky Derby ritual? And I assumed he goes down to Gulfstream, and he said normally he does, but he's getting a new garage door. He's got a garage door problem. So
that's no reason to miss the Derby. I'm sorry.
I know. He said he's not missing the Derby. He said he'd be watching at home. He said, I'm very disappointed, guys, but the way he said it, he goes, I have problems at home I need to deal with. He's yeah, like, I got like, a garage door that needs to be fixed. Basically, that's the only time he can fix it. Something, I don't know. So what do you do? Do you go out? Do you watch it at home? Like, because me, I'm a little bit different. Like, you know, I talk about it. Like, I'd never go to a house party for the Super Bowl or something like that. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I wouldn't watch the Super Bowl with a bunch of people that are just there to, like, watch the commercials or whatever. So I when it comes to a big game or a big bet for me, I'm either that guy, I'm alone, and I'm watching a game alone, and, you know, I got my computer, I'm in-game, and I'm on top of things. Or I'm old-fashioned, and I used to live in Vegas too, Marco. It's hard to beat the rush of a sports book, isn't it? Just like, it just is. I don't like house parties, but even Super Bowls. I love a Super Bowl and a sports book. The raw emotion of a sports book for a major sporting event can't be beat.
Oh, absolutely. We go, the guys here, we've had a tradition for several years. One of the casinos at the lower end of the strip, South Point, always has a Kentucky Derby party. They put it in a big ballroom with all the big screens, and they put betting windows upstairs in the ballroom. So we hang out there all day, bet the races, and there might be a few cocktails consumed. I can neither confirm or deny that.
Yeah, leading into the Warrior Rocket game that we'll get to in a second. All right, so as far as maximum security is concerned, I brought it up. Some people question whether he can go this distance. Some people question how he's going to match up against these horses. People question the field of the Florida Derby. Are you amongst them, or do you like this horse?
Well, there were good horses in the Florida Derby, don't get me wrong there, but he stole the race. He flat out stole the race with going the slow fractions. Nobody went with him. He's a horse that's always on the front end, and in that particular race, there wasn't a lot of speed, and he got left alone on top, and he backed the half down to, 48-4, and when I was sitting with the guys, the minute that they put up the halftime, I immediately said, if you got a closer, rip up your ticket now. You got no shot. And that's what ended up happening. So we didn't really learn anything about maximum security in that race because of the fractions. He's not going to get those cheap fractions here in a Derby. There's too many horses in the race, too many horses that want position, too many horses because of the 20-horse field are going to be forced to gun out of the gate to try to get the position they want. So it'll be faster fractions. And he's going to get somebody run at him earlier than he did in the Florida Derby. So we'll see if he can carry that to the distance. I don't think he can. I will have him sprinkled on maybe the lower end of my exotics, the trifectas and the superfectas. But if he ends up winning this race, it's going to be a bad day for me. It'll leave a bruise, let me tell you, because I won't have him on top. But what I will tell you guys, and you mentioned Mark Lawrence gave you code of honor, that is a horse to circle in this race. And the reason I say that is because he did come out of that Florida Derby, and he was one of the Stone Cold closers. He got away 11th in the race, and he able to make up ground and finish third in that race going against very, you know, if you go very slow the first half of the race, the horse is going to go, you know, faster in the second half. And if you're way back, it's tough to make up that ground. He may, you know, he finished third. He passed the rest of the horses. I think with Honest Fractions and getting a good trip, Code of Honor is one of the horses you got to consider as a long shot in the Derby.
Yeah, I like Code of Honor too. And before we get into the basketball, you know this, Marco. Every time you're going to have a couple favorites, but there's a couple horses that always blow up the tote board. That's what they make those crazy.
You read my mind,
for like,
who's the long shot?
$800,000. That's the thing. So Code of Honor is 14. I've heard Vekoma as a guy that people like, Marco, at 12. But out of the ones
by
that
my
are
standards,
around,
long shot.
Yeah, like War of Will. Like what are the ones that you like could be there as one of the horses that's a big long shot that could finish top four or five and really blow up the tote board there, Marco?
Well, my sneaky horse in this race is Win, Win, Win. And if you go back and just look at the last race, watch it again, and only focus in on the number of horse, watch the trip he got, watch road trouble that he had. He was just starting his big move coming from behind, and he just ran right into a wall of horses. His jockey had to literally jerk his head. He had to grab the reins so hard. Lost all momentum. Actually, you'll see the horse go backwards. Got him started back and then came on flying at the end of the Bluegrass to finish second. I think if they go fast fractions and he gets a trip, you're going to see Win, Win, Win flying late in the race, and it can blow up the tote board for you.
And as far as Win, 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 too, I believe he's raced in the rain successfully as well. We were breaking it down earlier. Marco D'Angelo, you can find him over at Wager Talk Marco in Vegas on Twitter. All right, man. It was fascinating, Marco. I learned a hell of a lot listening to you break down these races. But let's jump into the basketball. We spent a lot of the day today. I've had a lot of guests on from the morning and all day, basically talking about the Raptors. I haven't met anyone that likes the Sixers so far today. There's been a little bit of a debate with the total. I was with Paul Bowlby this morning. I ripped the hell out of Paul when it comes to the NBA, and he said he got a piece of the over in this game. Raptors are 6-1 to the under in the playoffs. Only given up more than 96 points once. Going on the road tonight, what do you make of this game? And then what do you make of the weekend NBA card?
Yeah, you look at this one tonight, and the situation is if you like Toronto, it's a correlated parlay, in my opinion. You're going to like the under with Toronto. If you like Philadelphia, you're going to think that it has more of a tendency to go over. For Philadelphia to win the game, even though they grabbed game two in a low-scoring game, that's not their style. They want to be more offensive and going up and down the floor. Philadelphia doesn't play the type of defense that Toronto does. Me, personally, I'm on Toronto tonight. I took a very small play on them tonight. I think they're the better team. I have them to win this series. Philadelphia, at times they look like one of the best teams in the NBA, but too often they play inconsistently. You don't know who's supposed to be the star. Jimmy Butler had a big game last time out. I think Toronto shuts them down tonight. I like Toronto, and I'll be honest, this is one of those ones. I have a small play on Toronto tonight. If they don't get it, I will have a bigger play on them in game four. I definitely see them regaining home court advantage in this series, grabbing one of these two games. I was on Philly in game two, so we cashed a ticket there, but I'm flipping over to Toronto tonight.
You know, Marco, I played the Raptors in the series yesterday. I got a minus 174. And the number is pretty much higher everywhere right now, so I feel good about that. But exactly, I said the same thing last night. I said, guys, if you like the Raptors to win this series, they're going to have to win, you know, at least one of these games in Philadelphia. And it's pick your spot. You want to come in tonight? And basically the way I'm doing it is I played the series, and then I'll go into the shallow end tonight with the game. And as you stated, if they don't, then it's going to be a stressful all-in Sunday because – I'm a big Raptor fan as well, Marco, and I'd be a hell of a lot more comfortable if they could just win this game tonight, but they had a bad game. The bench has been an issue. The bench has been non-existent, actually. Van Fleet played like 18 minutes, didn't have any points. He was a plus-minus 18, atrocious. Norman Powell gave them nothing. Serge Ibaka struggles if he doesn't get touches, and he's not like some – he needs to be on the floor more, but I think they'll be fine, so – what about that Houston Golden State series? Is Houston Will broken right now? Because I get the feeling that they're going to get back home and the ball's going to go in for them a little bit more.
It is, and I'll tell you, the way that I'd play this game, what I didn't like about Houston is immediately after they lost game one, and I was on Golden State in game two, I'll take the not-so-easy cover, but it was one of those ones where it looked like you were there the whole game. They only covered by a point, but yet they seemed to be in command the whole time. You look at Houston, when you start pointing fingers and making excuses all the time, it's not a good situation. And,
At first, okay, they bitched like no one ever bitched after a game, but same with you. And everyone out there, they're going to get calls the next game. And then when I saw they were crying about last year, Marco, I knew they were toasting game two. I'm like, yep, God, you guys are now crying about last year? You got a problem.
That's exactly where I was at on it and why I was on Golden State. I think Golden State wins it. Everybody says this is a 7-game series. I don't see it going past 6. I just think Golden State has something to prove because every time Houston opens their mouth, like you said, with, well, we should have had this and we should have had that, this is a situation where Golden State's got to listen to it the other way. And they're saying, hey, you know, all we're doing is keep winning, and yet you guys are keep chirping. They got something to prove on their end. If you want to take a shot with Houston, I think the best scenario is to grab them in game 3, first half. Because you're going to have the electric crowd. You know they're going to come out energized. Grab Houston first half, and I'll tell you what, if they do get that lead, you might be able to come back here, find a spot somewhere in the second quarter, early third, where you know it's at its peak, and grab some Golden State in game. Take the points because you know that run's going to be coming back the other way.
You're a wise man, Marco D'Angelo. You're a very wise man. People can find them at Wager Talk, some great cappers and some great content over at wagertalk.com. Marco in Vegas on Twitter. Enjoy the race. Have fun over at the South Point. Thanks for joining us, Marco. It's always a pleasure, my man.
Anytime you need it.
Marco D'Angelo with us.
Great stuff.
Smart guy, Cam, man. This guy really knows the ponies.
He sure does. I like horse guys.
Game time decision continues.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
Win for the Fences playing daily fantasy baseball with DailyRoto.com. Become the 8 Daily Roto lineup optimizer user to win $1 million in FanDuel or DraftKings tournaments, or become one of the countless number of people who won thousands and thousands of dollars. If you're playing MLB DFS and not using DailyRoto.com, you're doing it wrong. Enter the promo code FNTSY for a 10% discount to get lineup alerts, projected ownership percentages, weather updates, fantasy projections, and the use of the same Daily Roto lineup optimizers that have produced millions in DFS winnings. That's the 2019 MLB Daily Roto Premium Package at DailyRoto.com. Use the promo code FNTSY and get a 10% discount today.
And we'll get into to some NBA DFS. Didn't do well last night. Unbelievable. Who would have thought I lost that stupid over in a basketball game, but Damian Lillard scores 14 points and the Blazers still win. NBA playoffs have been whacked out. So speaking of whacked out, I just saw it. I don't mean to always get back to food here, Cam, but...
I love it. I know.
So
I'm getting hungry.
I just noticed that Burger King was trending on Twitter. And I have the New York City Twitter trends. Minister Farrakhan is the number one trending topic right now. Facebook is banned, Farrakhan. Number two is Joe Biden faces backlash after video surfaces of him praising Dick Cheney. Trending number three, Noah Syndergaard. I don't even click anymore with Noah Syndergaard. Noah Syndergaard's like always unhappy, this guy. I thought Ricky Henderson bitched a lot. Like,
He had a great game today. It was for good reasons.
I know. And the number four trending, I'm just saying he's always trending, Syndergaard in here. So the fourth trending topic, Burger King. I'm like, all right, let me see what they got, some crazy new burger. What's going on here? So this is, so it's Mental Health Awareness Month, the month of May. in the United States of America, Mental Health Awareness Month, and Burger King is honoring mental health. And so, you know, their saying was always, have it your way.
Yeah, have it your way.
So now this month, the hashtag is feel your way. Now, basically,
feel your way?
Yes, yeah. I know. So I basically, like that's the hashtag. So
like
basically, the campaign is because nobody is happy all the time. It's almost like the anti-McDonald's, like a Happy Meal. So instead of a Happy Meal, it's called the DGAF meal. And at first, I'm like, I don't know what the hell that means. DGAF, but don't give AF.
Oh, don't give AF meal. Okay, I see. I see.
They have another one called the Pissed Meal, the Blue Meal, the Yes Meal, and the DGAF meal as part of mental health awareness. And like there's like different boxes, like the Pissed Meal. Why did they just come up with the Angry Meal instead of Pissed Meal? Like, am I buying a box of piss?
Like, the Angry Whopper. Is there saying
the Angry Whopper? Yeah, let me retweet this, Cam, so you can see this for real. Yeah, I know it's hard to grasp.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you this. I know Burger King. The thing about Burger King is I'll give them credit for one thing. I think their croissant-wich breakfast is killer. I like the fact that I can get tots instead of just like regular hash browns. I think it's a nice choice. Pretty good breakfast. I got an issue with the nuggets. They got to do something about those nuggets. We've been talking about it for a long time. I know $1.99, whatever. Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, you're right. Like when rats are turning away, nuggets, it's a problem. Like those nuggets, they need a new chicken recipe. I don't even care if they're $2.99 or $3.99. Just get better nuggets.
So like what? I can just see you walking in here. Yeah, can I get the don't give a F meal? They should just call it that all the time, because if you're eating this stuff every day, you clearly don't give a crap.
Exactly.
Like, I'd almost think this is like a April Fool's or something like that. But no, they're dead serious. It really is. For mental health awareness, so like each box is like a different color and stuff like that. I don't know. I just don't like the sound of a pissed meal. I don't want a pissed meal.
No, nor do I. I'm just checking out your Twitter, too, and it's great. Like, you have the screenshot of your Under Armour shoes. I got to admit, you only paid an extra $10, and your shoes are so much better than the Dr. Scholl's model. I'm not really down with the style of them. The Under Armours look way better. Good purchase.
All right, so, yeah, here it is. Burger King was taking a swipe at McDonald's with its own versions of the Happy Meal. Because nobody is happy all the time. I actually think it's a good promo.
Yeah,
they're admitting that, listen, you're not happy. Ronald McDonald isn't lending you money. You know, you're getting divorced. You're divorced. You have to pay the bank back for that house that you don't like that you live in anymore. And, car payments. And, you know, people think, oh, we call it a Happy Meal and have a clown scare the hell out of you. It's going to make people happy. I like the fact that Burger King is embracing the fact, you know what? My life sucks, and I'm going to Burger King to have a Whopper.
It's kind of funny, too, when you look at the box of the Pissed Meal. It's almost like the squiggly line in Charlie Brown's shirt or like a Weezer logo, or just kind of, it's kind of interesting, like their Pissed Meal with their little logo there. It's it's very interesting, very interesting.
All right. Yeah, we'll get back to it. I got to be honest with you. I like the
Pissed Meal either. I think it's actually, I'm with you. It's kind of like they're going out there, boom. Let's get it done.
You know, it'd be great, too. You can go in drunk, and, like, when you go in, like, it's the Pissed Meal. Like, do you get to yell at them? I'll take that pissed off meal now.
I like salty meal. I don't give an F meal. Yeah, that's good. I like that.
How many people are going to tell them, I don't give a fuck? Give me
the... Yeah, that's going to be the favorite meal. That's the hot seller.
That's the drunk Burger King. Hey, give me the I don't give a... all right, but Mike Smith, join us on the morning show. It's just a quick 5-6 minute hit. He was busy. Mike Smith, Hall of Fame jockey.
That everybody in the studio got very excited about when I told them the one and only Mike Smith will be joining us on the morning show. Mike, good morning. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us this morning.
Thanks for having me.
So I know you must be a little bit disappointed. Omaha Beach is a scratch, but as somebody that owned a harness race, harness racehorse briefly, I understand disappointment's part of the horse racing business, Mike, isn't it?
Yes, it certainly is, man. It's a tough part, but it happens, believe it or not, sometimes quite often. You know, these are animals, live animals we're dealing with, and, you know, one little bitty hiccup and you're off track, you know. So, but the good thing is the horse is going to be fine. It's nothing, you know, life-threatening, and we'll live to fight again. So
what does your weekend look like now? What does your schedule go to, and what are some of the races it's that you pretty, focus in on now?
Pretty much it's pretty much the same as it was before, to be honest with you. I've got several to ride, got some other really, really good horses and races to ride in, and so I'm just going to concentrate on those and see if we can still have a big week, man. There's some other, you know, wonderful races as well.
Yeah, Mike, I got to ask you too. The decision—it's amazing how everybody was focused on, you know, what's Mike Smith going to do? Omaha Beach Roadster.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think a lot of people understand just how tough a decision that is for somebody like you in that position. Can you kind of just walk us through? I mean, you're basically handicapping the horses yourself too, right? I mean, you want to win, don't you? And you don't want to piss everybody off. So it's a tough decision for you.
Yeah, that one was probably the toughest, I'd have to say, in my career. You know, having to pick between two horses and then, you know, just coming off of winning the Triple Crown for one of the, you know, trainer of Roadster and Bob Baffert. You know, there were great connections. Everybody was really good about everything before I made my decision. So there was going to be any ill feelings. It was just a matter of who I thought was the horse for this race, period. Not who I thought was the best horse, just the horse that I thought that was going to be better suited for this race, and I truly believed it was Omaha, and still do. And then to watch him train the way he was training over this track, I was even more confident and excited about, you know, about my choice. And, you know, now things have just totally changed. It's just part of the game, and you move on, you know.
I'm guessing you're going to be rooting for Roadster here. Are we going to be cheering Roadster here in this race?
They got a glorified cheerleader now, man. I'll be cheering for big time. If I don't ride the race, I'll be hoping he wins it.
And as far as capping the race, does Roadster become the horse to beat now when you're handicapping this race? How do you look at it, and how much of an impact does the weather have coming into this? There's a lot of talk about Omaha Beach and the Arkansas Derby and the rain. But improbable raced in the rain as well in the slop. And we were talking about it earlier, Mike, in which we don't know. I mean, people always ask who's good in the slop, who's good in the soup. But I guess you don't know until the horses ran in the slop, right?
Yeah, you really don't. Improbable's going to have a big chance. Roach is going to have a huge chance. But I still think the horse to beat and still thought that going in, even when I was in it, was a game winner. Even defeat, you know, you got to run your A-plus race to beat him. He's tough, tough horse to beat. I think he'll get the mile and a quarter, and I still think he's the horse to beat, in my opinion. In saying that, there's some other horses been training very well. Bill Mott's horse that won the Wood Memorial is going to be really tough. Water Wheel drew a horrible post, but he's training extremely well. Maximus Freight training good there. I mean, it's gonna be a race. But I would have to say, if I had to choose one, if you gave me a choice, it'd either be Roadster or a game winner.
Mike, this is just a general question. Obviously, you've stayed in the game a long time, overcome a few serious injuries, notably a broken collarbone, a fractured vertebrae. What do you attribute your longevity to? How have you remained at the top of your game, even at the tender age of, I think it's 53? By the way, we met at Del Mar over the summer.
Oh, all right, good. Well, you know, it's just, you know, I made, you know, physical fitness a way of life, and I when I was in my early 20s, and I really stuck with it. Probably because I enjoy it so much. You know, I love feeling good. It makes you feel good. It keeps you happy, healthy, fit, strong. It's great for your mental as well. You know, I think it's paid off in my later years in life. My longevity is because of training and working out and eating right, you know, taking care of your body.
So, Mike, tell us about some of the horses that you're going to be for eye on.
The two most notable would be McKenzie and Marty Sweetum. I mean, they're both going to have a big shot. We'll see if I can I can do some good, man. I got an outside shot in the Oaks too with a filly called Motion Emotion. It's going to be a tough race, but she's not without a chance to run well. So those will be my best shots. And matter of fact, gonna get ready to head to the track as we speak right now. So I'm gonna have to get off, guys, man. But I appreciate you talking to you, and we'll see what happens. Hopefully, I can still have a big week, man. It's gonna be a fun derby to watch regardless, you know.
Well, I'll be backing you. I'll be backing you. I know you're gonna have a big weekend here at. You know, hey, the horse racing business works in mysterious ways, but nobody knows that more than you, a Triple Crown winner, Mike.
it really does. You don't know what can happen, man. That's one thing about a horse racing, man. Stick around long enough, something will change and go your way.
That's the beauty of it. Thanks for the time, Chad.
Oh, you bet, guys, man. Thanks for having me on. Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Heading into level three as we wind down the second hour of the program. Another strong show, been a strong show of strong shows all week. Great guest all week on the morning after, and great guest here on Game Time Decisions. Big man on campus will join us as we'll have to get a Philadelphia perspective a little bit.
Yeah.
But I got to tell you, I haven't heard one person. Marco D'Angelo, we just heard, very smart guy. He said he's on the Raptors. Whale Capper, very, very smart guy. He said earlier in the day, he said there's very influential money been coming in on the Raptors all day long. I just saw the Greek Sportsbook tweet out sharp money on the Raptors. It's, the money. And look, not a lot of respect for the Philadelphia 76ers. We'll put it that way. Mark Lawrence brought it up yesterday, Cam. I mean, yeah, the Raptors are good, but Philadelphia are a three seed. At home, who are a home underdog, and you and I have talked about this. It's a problem with the Raptors. They're priced like the Golden State Warriors or something. Like
that's the thing.
They really are.
That's
like they're road favorites at Philadelphia against a three seed. This isn't Orlando.
Yep. At your sports book, I would have made Philadelphia probably -1.5, -2. I would have reversed the line. Another thing, Gabe, about this game. I will say this though: people are smashing the Raptors because of one thing. If you watch that game, like you and I did the last game. Nobody had more open opportunities for shots, and usually pros knock them down. The Raptors don't know. There's no guarantees that they're going to. But after Kawhi drive, they had a lot of open looks, and I got to believe they shoot the ball a lot better. He was the only damn guy who showed up in game two.
I'm looking at some props for tonight. I'm going to get involved. There's only one NBA game on the board here tonight, Cam. So little player prop action, and people seem to be excited about the player prop action. So Kyle Lowry. Goes back to Philadelphia. Of course, he's from Philadelphia. Whale Capper brought it up. He normally plays well. There he's going to be fired up. And Lowry actually hasn't been a problem in this series. People like to pick on Lowry, but Lowry's played well. He's been, like, very consistent. If you look at a plus-minus when he's on the floor, he plays good defense. He hasn't been an issue. It's been everyone else.
Ibaka's been bad. He's been kind of his head's
Ibaka's
in the clouds
there.
He has been terrible. Siakam's been good, and Leonard's been absolutely amazing as advertised. You're right. If I rank the Raptors, Kyle Lowry's still in the top three. It's time for these other guys.
He scored 20 points, dude.
I know.
20 points,
guys,
5 rebounds, and 5 assists the other night. They only scored 89 points. What the hell do you want him to do? He was involved in like 35% of their offense, and he's playing defense.
Exactly.
Fred VanVleet played for 18 minutes, didn't score a damn point.
That guy's terrible. Cold.
I'm telling you, man. They traded the wrong guy in DeLon Wright. We should have, like, I don't know why we threw in so much on that effing deal.
Yeah. It's a good point, Gabe. You lose Valanciunas. DeLon Wright's going to be a young star. He's going to get better all the time.
Well, we signed Jeremy Lin. They don't want to play him.
Streak,
you know what I mean?
Lin's awful.
Yeah, like they're like they don't trust Lynn to play in the playoffs. So suddenly we're our bench is supposed to be great, speaking thinner than Allie McNeil.
Exactly. Gotta hit your damn shots. You gotta help Kawhi out.